What's good, y'all? It's that time of the year, and we've got bills to pay. So if you enjoy listening to the show, hit the links in the description to support by donating, joining our Patreon, or buying some new merch. If about 10% of you listening right now donate $10 to support the show, we'd have enough to cover an entire year's worth of cost of production. Over the years, I've been very intentional about turning down ads for things that didn't align with our values, so you don't have to listen to us talk about gambling or boner pills or any of that other crap. But that's only possible through the support of you, our listeners. So we've created some new ways for you to support. And again, if you enjoy listening to the show, hit the links in the description to support by donating, joining our Patreon, or buying some of our new merch. And of course, don't forget to tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a compliment will take you, and we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Now let's get into today's show.
Jordan trying to shake off Starks. Oh, what a move by Jordan! LeBron James with no regard for human life!
Final seconds. Bryant for the win.
Bang! Iverson. Against Gil, the crowd on its feet. Allen for the win!
Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Sneaker History Podcast. And of course, you see me here running the lone show today, which means it's a Coffee Time Kicks episode. And guys, I am happy to bring to you one of my friends. If you hadn't seen him on social media, you definitely should. He's a great follow, and he has a really, really cool job. I got my buddy Rick Tevez here, a.k.a. Soul Specific on Instagram. Rick, what's going on, bud?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Man, not much. I know we were talking a second ago. This has been a few months in the making. We've been trying to get schedules to align, but we finally made it. Dude, I'm really happy to have you on. I'm happy to talk about your job as was it footwear developer, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Cool.
I appreciate you having me on. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and like any start to a sneaker history episode, we like to start with what we call rocking and copping. So what's on foot today? What's on the radar? Something you're looking to pick up maybe in the future? What you got, Rick?
Today I wore a pair of the new Puma Inhales. Obviously, I had to wear them to work. they are part of the reflective pack, so it came out in two colorways. So it's a lot of 3M hits and stuff like that on the actual mesh and then just accents and stuff. So cool. I wore those today on foot. And then as far as things I'm trying to cop, obviously the Bred ones that are dropping this weekend. I did a couple of raffles. Fingers crossed. We'll see what happens. But I'm pretty sure I'll take an L on that one, so I'm ready for it.
I know. That's the one. I know people are just like, there's no real number out there what it is. And right. It seems like all of them already been kind of sold off. So, man, best of luck to you on that one.
Yeah, thank you.
What has been – I had two things on foot today because I went to the gym this morning. So first thing is going to be probably one of my, I think it might be my favorite like Puma as of right now is the Deviate Nitro 3.
Oh, nice. Yep.
I have destroyed this shoe, but I love this one, man. It's a great one.
It's a good shoe.
But then the casual shoe, I've been, since I finally got some foams, man, I've been wearing the mess out of these. Like you, I'm trying to get one of those tough releases. I'm going for that. My cop is going to be until I'm going to manifest this shoe to pop up my collection for retail. But the Galaxy Foam is like my first L I've ever taken in sneakers back in 2012. And I was like,
oh, wow.
I worked at Champs before that. So beforehand, it was easy. She's like, oh, I just want that. I just put it to
right,
the side.
Set it aside, exactly.
I had to get the real life purchasing after that. I was like, oh, this is what it's like. This sucks.
Yeah. The numbers on that one's supposed to be low as well, like for the Foamposite?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't think they're going to be something astronomically high, but I don't think it's going to be something super low either.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, if it's anything like the past releases of the Galaxy stuff, like the LeBron 9s and the KD4s,
right?
Maybe you have a decent chance.
Right.
Who knows, man? We'll have to wait and see, I guess, next.
Hey, best
Next
of
week?
Luck on that one.
Yeah, it's like, man, we're all just like hoping for the best.
Right, I started on the sneakers app. I was trying to figure out. I didn't select it because I probably would never. Like, the shoe is iconic and it has history, but I'll never wear it. So I'm like, all right, yeah. I got to be a little more kind of selective as to what it is that I get and stuff like that. So
yeah, it's like, make it make sense. Like, I'm the same way in my collection. Like, I there's a lot of things I love, and I was like, man, I want to look at it and see it. But I'll never buy it because it will never get put on my foot. It will literally sit there and collect dust forever.
Right. Exactly. Same, yeah.
Well, shoot, man. I want to get right into it. So
yeah. Please, ask away.
Okay, time out. Nick Engvall here. I'm sure many of you have seen the clips of the show across social media, but did you know that you can watch the whole episode, get early access to every single episode, and even check out exclusive episodes of the show? You can join our Patreon for as little as $5 per month, and even cheaper if you sign up for a yearly plan. It helps us keep the show going, and you'll be the first to know about everything going on in our community. If you can support, hit the link in the description to see all the options. Thanks for listening, and now back to the show.
So, if you guys probably could figure out, Rick does work for Puma. How did you get into that line of work? Is Puma the first stop, only stop so far?
I did retail for a while, which was kind of like where I got started. I started doing retail like at a running specialty store when I was going to college. And then from there, I kind of like took a break off of that. Good. And was doing web design and stuff. And then I got back into the retail management for Adidas and Reebok. And then slowly from there, I kind of made my way into Clarks. And when I went to Clarks, I was doing quality control inspections and stuff like that on there. On a lot of the original lines that we had at the distribution center in Pennsylvania. So they would send me down there to look at like collabs and stuff like that. Like we did a bunch with like OVO and everything. So I had to go down there and inspect those. And then from there, I started working with the in-house engineers and basically kind of made my way to the commercialization engineering, which is basically like all your fit and wear test reports, measuring labs, all that stuff and everything. So I started doing that and then kind of from there moved over to the development side. I was at Clark's doing development for about a year or so and then applied at Puma and just kind of landed there, which I'm coming up on 3 years at Puma now. So
nice, man. So yeah. When we look at developer and designer, one and the same, or you guys work hand in hand?
We work hand in hand. Basically, like the designer will have they'll get the briefings and stuff like that from the sales and merch teams and also the PLMs after they have their meetings. So the product line managers will kind of have a meeting with the designers and then they'll show them like what it is that they want to, you know, what the market is asking or what the client is looking for and stuff. And then the designer will come together. And then when it gets to the tech packs, we work hand in hand with the designer. So we select materials, help them out and stuff like that. And then once the tech packs are complete, they'll kick them off to us. And then we basically review the tech packs, go through them like with a fine tooth comb, make sure everything's good to go. And then from there, we submit it to the offshore factories and stuff to start ordering materials and just kind of working on that from that point. So,
We
basically take like, I always say like we're kind of like the architect or whatever. So we'll take like the 2D design, whatever's on paper or on a CAD. And then we just basically bring it to life by either, sending like dimensions of stuff that need to be done or ordering new materials and stuff. And then we are in charge of like fit and wear reports, all that stuff too. So.
Oh, cool. So when you guys are doing that, is it when you're building, I guess, the initial idea, I guess, that first round of samples, is it something you guys are building in-house or is it something you guys are having to ship out to factories to get built and sent back and kind of go back and forth?
Right. Everything is done offshore. When I was at Clark's, we had an in-house sample room that we would kind of like put together. Cool. Like, and I worked in that room as well. So I kind of got like to working with pattern making and stuff like that. And I also took some courses here and there for making like shoes from scratch and stuff. So, but at Puma, we don't really have the means to do that. And we don't have all the materials that we'd be using.
Yeah.
So we reach out to our partnering developers overseas and they basically reach out to the factories and start making the samples in the sample room.
That's so cool. I mean, I'm sure
it's a process.
I bet, man. Like people are just like, oh, I got the shoe. And they don't really see the behind the scenes. And
right.
There's so much. Like even from that, you condensed it down so much of what you've done. I can tell. Like it's just like, hey, point A to point B. But I know there's all these little, intricate things in between, which is really cool to really get kind of that insight. Because again, we all see the end product, but what goes into it? Like, what is the reasoning? Like, why did we go with this material versus that? Or like you said, even like quality controls. I know a lot of people talk about quality controls from other brands.
Yep.
And I mean, I can tell you that as I've been doing sneakers, like sneaker media for the last, 5 or 6 years, I don't ever hear quality issues from the two brands you just named, from Puma and Clarks. You don't hear about, quality of that or quality. Yeah. So, I mean, hey, you guys have done from all your stops.
Yeah.
I've definitely been doing your thing, man.
No, it's definitely true. Plus a lot of the things too, like when you start getting into more quality issues is when you're doing mass quantities or a large forecasting. So like that's where you start running into problems because you're trying to meet the quota of when it has to be done. And then you're basically pushing out large volumes of shoes. So there are tolerances that they're allowing the factories and stuff like that. So sometimes when people get a shoe and they look at it hand in hand, these are all like the insider stuff. Like I could sit here and talk about it for days and you'd probably be like, all right, this is too short. I mean, too long of a pod. But, you know, we have like variances and allowances that we can have or the factories have. So when they look at something that's up to like 2 or 3 mil that they can kind of go either way. So when they're looking at something, if it's not exactly a mirror image, they still have that allowance. Cause obviously as you're putting it in machines to last or anything like that, like there's going to be some kind of variances and stuff. So.
Yeah, so you see, you have that plus minus basically. It's like, hey, you know what? We can live a little bit here if it's that, or it makes sense. Like you said, it's a lot of things you're putting out, and I mean, even if we just look at Puma right now, I mean, I feel like you guys have been on an absolute just tear, just from lifestyle to fitness and running, of course, basketball. Is there a particular division you're working in, or are you kind of?
I primarily work on the RCC team, which is the Regional Creation Center.
Okay. But
the Regional Creation Center consists of me working on lifestyle, sports style, and then also run train. I do a lot of that stuff. And then if we have any basketball collabs and stuff like that, if they can, you know, if there's kids or stuff like that, they'll do the adults and then they kind of like hand us down the kids or whatever. So we basically grade them down to the kids and everything. But I've worked on like, yeah, I could probably like send you a list of all the
just scrolls.
Exactly. The collabs and everything and stuff like that, stuff that's just been out in the market and or hitting the market now and everything. Because like I'm coming up on 3 years. So we work on the RCC team about a year out, 9 months to a year out.
Okay.
So we're quicker to market than most places. We don't have like the traditional 18-month window or calendar that most programs have. So it's a little bit faster.
It's a quick turnaround, especially when you're doing so many different models. Because I mean, from like you mentioned, Inhale was it last year it was introduced?
With ASAP.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then they got the inline models now. I've seen a couple pop up at Foot Locker, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
And then of course you get all the Deviate stuff. I know even their like collaboration with High Rocks, that whole organization. So a lot of parts going on.
Yeah. And we did like the first collab using a performance running shoe with Brooklyn Circus.
I saw that one.
That one was my little baby, myself and the designer, Brian. We worked on that and stuff. So that was like mine, that one, and also the Clyde. That was one that we had worked on and stuff. There was a lot of going back and forth, selecting the materials, the gradients, the colors, everything. So
that one, I like that Deviate. So it's funny you said that, because this one, like I always have a bad habit of going on websites and just creating accounts and just sticking stuff in my like cart wish list. And like, I'm going to come back to you. Right, and at Brooklyn Circus, I was like, let me tear these up first before I get another pair.
Yeah.
I've gone through each of them so far. Like, I actually, so the first Deviate Nitro, that it was the SP, it was the one with the, like the rainbow colors on it.
Yeah.
I ran my first ever half marathon in that shoe.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, dude. And I guess, and I really is like fell in love with that shoe afterwards, and had to 2, 3, and it's like, okay, now I want to try the,
have you tried the Elite?
That's the one I want to try. I want to try the Elite 3. Okay. That's the one I've been looking at. It's that neon green, that High Rocks one. I was like, all right, because I was talking to Matt Hatfield over at Nice Kicks, and he does High Rocks, and we were talking about that particular shoe when we were on an episode, and I was like, man, I never thought about, because High Rocks is just more like, I feel like is CrossFit on steroids.
Yeah, it's like an upgrade or an upscale version of, you know, CrossFit and stuff.
Yeah, and so my wife and I, we do CrossFit. I was like, well, let me see if I can like make it work in this shoe, and I've been working out, and it's like, oh, okay, it actually pretty stable for everything I do, and you know, not just the running part. So like, okay, I might have to just add this to the repertoire. But it's just cool. I mean, I like the things you guys are doing.
Yeah,
it, like I say, it is a lot of, I feel like, out of the ordinary, but still like very in line with what people want. So I look at things like the upcoming, or I guess it's out now, Ninja Turtles collaboration you guys did with Melo Ball. I mean, every generation has some kind of Ninja Turtle media that they've seen or been a part of, and it reaches a whole lot of people. The pack is awesome, from two turtles in one shoe to the Shredder, the Krag, all this stuff is just very creatively put together, so it can work for both kids but also adults who have that nostalgia for, you know, Ninja Turtles at that
point.
Well, did you work on that one?
I worked on the kids, the Melo 4. So the one that's the split turtles, where like one is Leonardo, one's Raphael, Donatello, Michelangelo. The kids in on juniors and preschool, I did those. I worked on those.
Do you guys have like, for those, I mean, kind of kids' feet are just like kind of a different animal than like adults. You guys right. have kids come in and like wear testos because kids will beat down a shoe like nobody's business.
Yeah, we don't. I think they did at one point, or they kind of, we have a lot of fit and wear testing overseas.
Okay.
So some of the times they'll do that. But like normally what we do is we just grade it down from the adults.
Okay.
So, if, you know, usually if the fit and wear passes on the adults, it's going to pass on the kids and stuff. But like the kids, if you look at them, because of keeping the costs down and everything else, there's less technology usually. You know what I mean? Like if you look at it, there's going to be less midfoot arch support or whatever. So it's just kind of a tear down.
Yeah. Okay. Well, shoot, man, as you go through your projects, like I said, you have your list of projects you worked on. I'm sure a ton of things you'll see in the future. What's some of your favorite ones that you've like been a part of through your time, whether it be Puma, Clarks, or whatever ones that just kind of like stood out to you?
It would probably, I mean, I hate to say this, but it's going to be all Puma, because when I was at Clarks, it was primarily the stuff they had me working on was women's slippers and sandals.
Ah.
So nothing exciting. I mean, it's a brown shoe company, and like all the cool stuff is done in the UK. So like I was US based, so occasionally we would get like the Clarks, the Wallabies, the Desert Boot, and stuff like that stuff would come our way for fit and wear or inspections or whatever, but we never actually developed that stuff in-house.
Okay.
So I'll say all Puma stuff that I've worked on. Probably one of the ones that got the best feedback so far would be the Brooklyn Circus, the Clyde, and then the Deviate. And then I also did the Lamb's Suede, the one that was the tearaway canvas on top. So it had
Yeah,
so that one got like a ton of like traction and stuff like that once it dropped, and everybody was kind of like, so that was cool. Like it was kind of like it went under the radar, no one knew about it, and then all of a sudden people started posting on social, so it kind of like got a lot of like hype that way, so it was cool. Trying to think what else I've worked on. There's a couple of Suede XL squeezes, which it's not squeeze anymore, they have a rubber toe guard. That toe cap and stuff like that was a development that I had worked on. So like we basically took a suede, kind of fattened it up a little, made it look more stylish, like towards skate influence where it has more padding, wider platform. And then we actually put like a rubber toe on it. So one of our designers, Jeff, came up with that design, and then we just kind of went that way. And the whole thing behind it originally was called the squeeze, because it was supposed to be like squeezed toothpaste, like out of a tube. So, like the laces had all the different colors of the toothpaste. So that was a cool one that we worked on. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think like off the top of my head right now.
There's like tons of them.
I mean, like I said, I think I looked at what I'm working on right now, and I think I have like 147 SKUs that I'm developing at the moment. And I'm probably going to be getting more because all of our factories were on Lunar New Year break. So they just came back from that.
Oh, yeah.
So once they come back, we're going to start getting like the briefs and stuff and just kind of go again. Yeah.
So how do you split your time between all those SKUs? Like, it's only 8 hours in the assume 8 hours in a day, but you know what I'm saying? Like, you only work so many hours in a day.
I mean, we like, last night I was on a call with the Asia team, like, at 10 o'clock at night. You know, it's because they're coming in, they're 12 hours different, so they're coming in. So we kind of do it that way. But, yeah, it's taxing, for sure. You know, like, it's definitely, like, the day isn't long enough, and sometimes, like, you have your breaks, but then when you're busy, you're slammed, so it works both ways.
Yeah. So I've seen on your Instagram, and I'm like, man, some of the stuff you post is like some of your creations you put together.
My own customs,
I love that because you put stuff together. I'm looking like, I never would have thought of that. And that's amazing. Like, is that something you do at home, or is like it's your spare time? Like, you know what? Let's do it and see if, like, what it looks like and how it works.
Well, like by default, not, I guess by me getting involved in footwear, I started kind of doing customizing about 10 years ago.
So yeah.
I started just by like painting and doing the whole, you know, you go on YouTube and see somebody doing it, you know, obviously Mosh was one of the, like the front runners who was doing it at first and stuff. And then from there, I started watching other guys like Sneakerhead in the Bay. I was getting tips from him. And slowly I've gotten better and better and better, obviously like 10 years in now. But like there's guys like, shout out to Dylan De Jesus from, he does a lot of stuff that like I'll reach out to him sometimes for tips, and he's great at like getting back to me and everything. So it's just the community has gotten a lot better, and it's weird because like in the customizing world, like you see a lot of these guys, like for example, Dylan De Jesus, Souls by Sarah down in Miami. He's doing like classes and stuff. Dylan's doing classes.
It's crazy.
There's other designers. I mean, customizers now that are doing like classes that teach you how to customize. Mm-hmm. When I was starting, if I reach out to somebody like, hey man, how'd you do this? I'm just curious. They're like, yeah, sorry, you got to learn just like I did. So it's like, learned by mistake, you know, trial and error. So I'm like, you know, I ruined so many pairs of shoes, like doing stuff. I'm like, oh, but luckily I figured it out by now. So yeah, to answer your question, I just do customs and I do builds, ground up builds, decon, recons. I do hybrid soul swaps and stuff like that. So it's just a mixture of everything.
Well, see, the latest one I saw you do was the suede mid with the crepe bottom.
Yeah, yeah.
First of all, like, that looked good. Like, that was awesome. I have always had this thing with the crepe bottom, so that's why you see at Clark's. I was like, oh, dude, I always, like the Wallabies and Desert Boots. Always love those, like, kind of like beeswax, those bottoms. But
yeah,
how, like...
That was like, a shoe that I, like... Adidas had done it with... Ronnie Fagg, they had done the Gazelle with Clarks. So they did that collaboration that everybody was like crazy about. I'm like, all right, when I was at Clarks, we could wear any brand because they weren't direct competitors to Clarks.
Makes sense.
So I would, you know, if you look at my Instagram posts, it's always like Kicks and Coffee. I'd have my feet up on the desk with like a different pair of shoes every day because I could wear that to Clarks. At Puma, we have to wear Pumas because it's
makes sense.
Can't wear competitor brands. Unless it's a pair of Clarks or something because it's not a direct competitor.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, what can I do that is kind of taken where I am now and where I came from the past? So I decided to kind of mix, you know, my old stomping grounds of Clark's time, you know, and do it with a suede mid. So, yeah. And it was like, I tried to get it done because we had line freeze meetings in Germany. So it was last January. So I tried to like get it on and I was on foot walking through like Germany headquarters and people were like, wait, when did those come out? I'm like, no, that's a 101. They're like, oh, yeah. it got some like a little of attention here and there and stuff. So
look, I'm waiting for you to have a whole new model come out because they're going to see what you've been making. Like, look, let's just let him have free reign. Give him all the materials.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the dream or the hope, yeah, you know, that they would kind of like give me that freedom, but we'll see. Yeah.
Hey man, just keep doing it. Cause I definitely take a notice. So that's awesome.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Oh, man, of course. Now, you mentioned something I was going to ask you about. So, of course, working at Puma, you can only wear Puma to work.
Yep.
How's it affect your personal collection? Because I'm sure it's like Monday through Friday. It's like, I can only wear this. But now I got squeezing all these wears Saturday and Sunday for other things.
Exactly. Like my wife would be like, what are you doing putting on like two pairs of shoes in one day? You know what I mean? Like, so Saturday will come up. I'll grab like a pair of Jordan 1s or Air Maxes or Air Max 90s, whatever, throw those on. Go out for a little bit, come back, swap out something else, whatever. And she's like, where are you going now? I'm like, I'm just putting, you got to wear them. If I don't wear them, they're going to go stale in the boxes. You know what I mean? So I'm like, I got to wear them.
Yep. I feel the same. So I work from home. So I don't go anywhere. So I'll sit there like, if I go to a grocery store, or I will find a way to put pairs of shoes on and do the most minuscule task.
right.
Just like, I'm going to put the trash out. Oh, let's put a pair of shoes on because I got to wear them so they don't crumble on me.
Yeah.
But it's cool though because, I mean, it's still, you get your collection. You get to still like have a love of sneakers at work as well. So whenever you are getting in the process of building a shoe, are you already like, okay, like, can you already tell when something's going to be a hit when you're building it?
For myself or at Puma?
All right, Puma. Like when you're building a sneaker at Puma, when you're working with the design team, it's something you can kind of gauge is like, oh, okay, I know who's going to like this one. I know who's going to like that one. Just be the sneakerhead yourself, a collector. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it's hit or miss. I'll be honest. Yeah. Like if I said, everyone's going to be a banger now. The problem that I've said this since day one, when I was at Clark's too, that it's discouraging. Cause like we'll work hard with the designers and, you know, overseas teams picking out materials, and shoes will make it to like second round of samples and they'll look great. And then if the sales and merchandising team doesn't think that it's going to have a place in the market, they'll kill it at the last minute because it doesn't make sense to go forward with it. So like, now you've put in a lot of time, you know, developing and designing, and doesn't make it. So we've had like we have our walls, like that, you know, I guess you could call it the wall of shame. It's like a bunch of shoes that like never made it, but they're cool and stuff like that. So there's a few that like you see and like, all right, like we're working on a few I can't mention, but there's new styles coming out that the designers are kind of revamping and stuff and kind of predicting on what the trends will be by the time they hit the market and everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would say, if anyone likes Puma or is kind of getting into Puma, definitely keep your eye out what's coming up in the next year or so, because there's going to be like some, I'd say like 5 or 6 different models that'll be, they're like completely ground up rebuilds, like TNs, you know, everything. So yeah, something that we've never really had before. So.
Oh, awesome. Well, I'm definitely going to be keeping an eye out for that. Now, I got to ask you, for all those ones who are, all those shoes that didn't make it, I know typically you know, the sample, like, size is 9. Is anybody a size 9 walking around just like, I'm going to take those home? Or can you keep them? Like, if they're just like, yeah, hey, we're going to trash them?
We will wait until, like, if it's a shoe that's canceled altogether, then it's kind of like either shred it or if one of the designers want to keep them there. Obviously, they're all labeled and stamped. They have sample, do not resell.
Yeah. But
I would say, like, 90% of the designers, we'll go 80. Yeah. Their sample size. So like
must be nice. Yeah, right.
So if they work on something, they're like, oh damn, it didn't make it to the market. All right, cool. Can I get those? And I'll just hand it to them after they were done, like after they cancel it and everything. And our programs were like, hey, do you guys want these? We have like several sample sizes, pairs, whatever.
Oh, that's
cool. Take them and then they'll wear them or they'll just use them for future references. So if they come back, maybe that you know, somewhere down the road, maybe now the market thinks that that's going to have a chance. They'll hold on to it and use it as a reference shoe and be like, hey, let's go off of this, but revamp it a little. So
that's cool, man. I wish I was a sample size. I'd be the worst.
Me too. I'm a size 11, so I'm always like, all right, I guess I got to order all my stuff.
Got to buy them, I guess, guys. Yeah, exactly. And I'm a 10, so I'd be like, look, let me just squeeze, take the insole out, squeeze my foot in, like, let's see. Right. Oh, do you so I guess I was going to ask, I lost my train of thought because I laughed at that. Whenever you guys are going in, it's like, I got this sample, we're building it out, we're going all these rounds. Do you ever look up one day and you're like, oh, let me scroll through my normal sneaker media? It's like, ah, crap, how did they get a picture of this? Like, do you guys ever have that moment where you're like, how in the world did this get out?
It's surprising because like, I'm probably one of the people that are in my department or my team that kind of like are always looking at what's on in social or what's kind of like coming up.
Yeah.
So I'll come into work and I'm like, hey, did you guys notice this? You know, so-and-so has this already on their page. How do they get these images? And, you know, 95% of the time it's stuff that was leaked that's going to hit the market.
Yeah.
I have yet to see anything, to answer your question, that's hit photos but never made
it. Okay.
You know what I mean? So it's usually, if it doesn't make it, you never really see it. It never sees the light of day, like on social or anything like that.
Okay.
Unless one of the designers decides like, hey, I'm posting my wall of shame, and they kind of like, they'll have like a whole, you know,
their stuff.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I always wonder, like, man, it's like, how does that feel like as someone who's like working their butt off on their shoe? And they look up and like, who in the world took this picture of an unfinished shoe and now the world sees it before we're done with it and all the stories out? So that's crazy to me. I still don't understand how that works. But
yeah. Now, it's definitely an interesting world. And people are like, it's just shoes. I'm like, like when I tell people like what I do, like, dude, you have the dream job. I'm like, to me, I love it, but like, it's every day 9 to 5. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like, I'm thankful for it and I love doing it, but like, I guess some people are like that. You have a really cool job. I'm like, oh, all right, like it doesn't like I maybe because I've been doing it for so long. Like, yeah, it is a cool job, but some of these people are just like, yeah, it's shoes. Who cares? You know what I mean? Like, I'm a sneakerhead at heart. I love sneakers. Yeah. I love shoes. So like, anything to me is like, this is cool, but.
For sure. I think it's just because we get programmed to seeing the same jobs over and over. It's right. Like, oh, okay, well, I'm not in sales. Or, you know, oh, man, Rick's not in sales. He's not a banker. He's not this. It's like, this is cool because, like, it's not something you think about. It's like, oh, sneakers. And I'm like, I mean, but like you said, it's still a 9 to 5. And I can only imagine, like, the deadlines you guys are dealing with, especially around, like, the – well, now it seems I didn't realize how sneakers have impacted things like Paris Fashion Week now, New York Fashion Week, of course, the holidays, back to school, all that stuff. It's like you guys are constantly on the clock, and I'm sure you just probably for all those SKUs, there's like a deadline on each of them, most likely.
Yep. And then anytime that like we're getting partnerships with last year we had a partnership with the All-Star Weekend and stuff like that because we had a couple of models that players were using and stuff, so we had to like have certain things done. There's movie releases that we do with, like, special collabs for. So if a movie is hitting the market on a certain date, that shoe has to be, you know, ready to go and ordered and stuff like that and hit the stores before the movie actually releases or just in time. Obviously, you don't want to miss that deadline. So, like, there's a lot of – I mean, you can't really tell Hollywood, like, hey, push back the movie because our shoe's not done.
Hold on, guys. Like, we're not done yet. Right. No. Speaking of special events, I mean, we got All-Star Weekend this weekend and two-time reigning champ, Mac McClung, in the dunk contest.
Yep.
Is there anything you can tell me he's wearing special? Or
I couldn't even tell you. Like, it's not even that. I'm going to say we just dropped the all-gold, I think it was like the Clyde Pro on the website. There's like an all-gold version of it.
I saw, was it Halliburton?
I would say maybe he's wearing that one. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Then there's like that elite one that we dropped that's like 250.
Yeah,
that one, I'm sure somebody's going to be wearing it. So yeah, the basketball is like its own little like separate entity. Like those guys are like workhorses. They're always traveling. Mm-hmm. Basketball, I mean, Melo kind of like brought them in, but like they hit the market and I think we've been back in basketball for maybe 6 years now or something like that.
Sounds about right. Yeah,
it's only been like 6 or 7 years they've been in full bore, and they're blowing up. I mean, there's a lot of models. Obviously, like we have Stewie, you know, she's got her own line. Her shoe is probably like, from like my take, it's one that I can relate to the most. And I'm like, it's a woman's shoe, but like obviously it comes in unisex sizes. Mm-hmm. But like a lot of the stuff that they've done or the storytelling behind that shoe is always like kind of something I could relate to more. I could see myself wearing.
For sure.
Even though but yeah.
Oh, for sure. I love the one she had for the Olympics. Is that Paris themed one?
Yep.
Oh man, that one was it sold out like that. I was like, oh, God dog it. But no, it was. I like what they did there. I mean, I have. Gosh, I brought it up. It's in my closet over here. I have the first. First three basketball shoes. I think that came back to market that were like the premier shoes. So it was the Clyde that was all knit.
All knit with the cupsole.
Yeah. That was a heck of a performer. Like I was questioning it at first, but then I put it on court. Like, man, this thing, it locks you in there and it is solid. And then I had the, so it was All-Star 2020. Y'all brought this one. That was when at the time J. Cole was with you or just got with you guys. And it was the Sky Dreamer.
Okay.
It was all nice materials. Like you guys revamped it to have more fuse, but you still kept like the leather collar, leather, strap on it, and then put of course the rubber with the nitro foam in it, and that nitro foam is solid. Whenever y'all put it in, like it is a legit cushion.
It is, and they're coming out with there's a nitro, like the Elite is like a different density of nitro. So if you get like the Deviate 3 Elite, you'll notice it's got the carbon plate, and then it also has two different densities of nitro foam. So you'll feel the difference between, like, if you're used to running the Deviate and you go to the Deviate Elite. It's like a night and day difference. Like one is like a true racer shoe or like marathon shoe. So it wouldn't be like your everyday trainer. It's a little lighter weight. The materials are kind of more flimsy and flexible. So it's not something you want to wear every day. But like underfoot, you notice a difference.
Yeah. Okay. I got a checklist of things I need to add to the collection this year. And that's one of them. And do you guys see, I mean, of course you guys follow the trends. Like you said, the sales and marketing team will go in like what fits in the market at a particular time. In your SKUs that you're working on, are you seeing an uptick in a particular type of shoe, like more of the like technical runners, more of the classics? Is there anything that's being prioritized more than another?
The Y2K, which is kind of like the, I mean, I hate to say it, but like it's in the market.
ASICS
is doing it. New Balance is doing it. Saucony is doing it.
Everybody.
You know, like those brands came back strong doing that style. So we have a few models that are kind of like influenced by that or fall into that area with a little revamping. So that's kind of like that's the trend or kind of like areas that we're going to be like kind of excelling in. But then, like I said, there's models that they kind of like use those for inspiration and kind of went like, you know, completely way out in left field and changed it up a lot. So
that's cool. Well, did you consider, I don't know, does this fall under basketball, but Melo's lifestyle shoe? Is that something you work
on?
I have a pair of those, and it reminds me of an old Y2K like skate shoes. Like, so I didn't know if that would kind of fall under your jurisdiction, or is that still
in the Puma Hoops? That's the basketball, but like the LaFrance RSXs, I did all of those. The LaFrance Slipstream with the strap.
Yeah.
I did that as well. Like, that was actually, I have the sample shoe at my desk. Like, basically, they like, hey, how can we get a strap on this? You know, and they were trying to figure out how to do it. So I came home with my little tinkering and stuff like that, and basically like did a prototype of a strap and everything, and did pictures and sent off a copy to the factory, and they basically mimicked it, and that's what went to production. So like that's one of my little moments that I have at my desk that I'm like, all right, this is cool. Like that went to production. You know, it was my little basement shop that I did. So yeah,
man, get this man a shoe. Come on, get this man his own collection. He's out here solving your problems for you. Now that's awesome, man.
Thank you.
No. Outside of work, I mean, what really drew you to sneakers? What everyone has that first one, or that one is like, man, this is what kind of got me addicted, if lack of better words.
Right. No, I mean, I've always been into shoes. I didn't start my collection or my obsession until later in life, which is kind of crazy because, mm-hmm. For a while, I'd have a random kind of Air Max 90 that everyone had, or Air Max 1, whatever, right? And then I was just I'm not really into shoes that much. I don't really go out that much using shoes. And then as I got into working at the running specialty store, I was saying, we learned there basically how to fit people properly and everything, mm-hmm. and learn all the technologies that went into shoes. So it kind of made me understand the differences between shoes. And so from there, I just got more and more. But I would say the shoe that kind of got me into the whole thing, obviously, I'd love to say it was the Jordans, but it wasn't. It was the Mags. When I saw Back to the Future.
Okay.
I was all right. That movie came out. I'm dude, I was a fairly young kid. So when I saw it, I'm this shoe is cool. And then I think, I can never remember the name, but it's the Nike Pump that came in the big plastic container.
Not Command Force.
No, it wasn't the Command Force. I was on go. I got it in my cart. Actually, let me see if I can pull it up on my. I don't want to be rude here, but it might
No, you're good, because I was going to sit there and think of it too. Because I know it had it's a big cooler almost that comes in. Yeah,
exactly.
What is the name of that
I might
shit?
Still have it in my history, because I bought it and I hit on it on Sneakers app, and then it was $300. I'm all right, am I going to actually wear this?
Oh my gosh, it was that much?
Yeah, and this is modern day that it released, and I'm all right, am I going to wear this? And I ended up canceling it, so I'm kicking myself in the ass now, because it would have been a cool piece just to have.
Gotta go to eBay, man. See if you find you a good, lightly worn.
Yeah, you can find them on GOAT. eBay, they're all beat. But if you get them on GOAT, they're still up there in price, too. I think they're going for high twos or threes.
Huh,
so I'm all right, I don't really want to spend that on a shoe that's just going to sit there.
I'm right there with you, man. It's ooh, I like it, but ooh.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, I'm just scrolling here.
Good. Yeah.
I'm not trying to be rude here.
No, dude, we do this all the time on our episodes. We'll stop and try to find a shoe.
Right? Well,
hold on, we got this.
Now I'm getting really sad because I just realized how many shoes I bought on all the sneakers app. Oh shit, this is a lot of shoes.
Oh, the Air Pressure.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you. You beat me to it.
This sucker is huge. I forgot how big this
shoe
was. So
when that shoe came out, there was a local sneaker shop in the town that I grew up in, right? And it was Ryan and Son. So they called it the Gob Shop. And it was a store that catered to all the high schools and middle school teams, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So you could go in there and get uniforms. They also had a huge selection of running shoes, cross trainers. And it was usually Nike, I want to say a Tonic at the time, Avia. So it was all brands that kind of no longer really at that height, but at the time they were. And they had those. And I walked in and I was like, Mom, I want these. She's like, what do you mean? I'm like, they're the closest thing to the Mags, because the Mags were never going to release for the general public.
Yeah.
But when you looked at the silhouette, how it was kind of a high shoe that went up the ankle and everything. And I saw that shoe. I'm like, all right, I need this. So my mom saw the price. Actually, you're not getting that. So I'm like, all right, cool. I guess I'm not getting it. So that kind of made me want shoes more and more. And then obviously growing up in the era of Jordan, Bo Jackson, Deion Sanders, Barry Sanders, all those trainers, the elites, the turf shoes and stuff. It's just I came up in a good era, I guess you could say. So all these classics that are dropping again.
Yes.
Those were things that we were wearing on our feet every day back then. Yeah. So
it's amazing to see that kind of stuff come back. I mean, especially the turf shoes, I feel like are making a comeback.
Yeah.
From Deion stuff. Reebok brought back the Emmitt Smiths, the preseason 94s.
Yep.
Those are cool shoes. I mean, I feel like they're a little harder to wear every day now as adults.
Exactly.
But they're just cool pieces. I mean, and when you put them on, they're still decently comfortable as well, because they're meant to be run around in. And it's one of those things, is I like that. I mean, we're in a place with sneakers now where, at least I hope it stays like this for a little bit longer, where we're not having to break our necks to buy particular pairs. So it's nice to be able to go back in and let me try this on, let me go get this. So like you said, from my childhood, let me go try to grab one of these for retail and be able to add it to the collection, as opposed to having to spend gratuitous amounts of money.
Exactly.
Because this is a big nostalgia hobby we're in. I mean, I went to the mall the other day, and KD4 Pros were sitting there.
Yeah.
They came out right after I got out of college. I was like, they were super hard to find then, and I wasn't paying resale because people were silly. $800 was the average price, and found them for $130. How often will I wear them? Not that often. They're really pink.
Probably never. Right.
But it's one of those things. It's like things I missed out on as a kid, or you know, it's I add those to the collection. It's probably not the best habit, but there's worse things out there.
There is. I mean, I always talk to, like, you know, obviously, like, buddies of mine that have, like, podcasts and stuff like that. Like, I'll talk to them and everything, and we go back and forth. And I'm always like, you know, that's my vice. And I tell my wife, too. I'm like, listen, it could be worse. I could be out there doing a lot worse things than buying shoes and stuff. So, yeah. But, like, the problem that she has with me now is I'm running out of room to store them. And I see behind you, you got a big-ass wall of shoes, too. So, you know the problem. I'm like, all right,
then the messed up part is I would love to be like, oh, that's it. That's all of them. No, that's just the ones that have boxes that can, like, stand. So on my right, I have clear boxes with some of my, like my personal favorites are in those clear boxes. I have a closet that's filled to the brim. I'm like, this? And I keep getting rid of them. Like, family of mine who's size 10, I will. I mean, there's some shoes I beat to the ground, and those are just gone. Those are ones I keep because I've worn them to death. But things that I maybe never saw a light of day, or maybe once or twice, I hand them out to my dad's my size, youngest brother's my size, and then on my wife's side, we have a couple cousins who are my size. So I literally, like, fill the truck up and just, like, take them. And I still come back, why are still so many shoes left here? What's going on?
Like, I'll do an annual purge or a biannual purge. Like, I'll do it twice a year and stuff like that, and kind of like, all right, I need to get rid of some stuff that I'm not really wearing. What am I going to wear? So, like, I think it was right before the fall, I purged out, like, 50 pairs. Like, and I just gave them to, like, a homeless shelter. I was like, here, take these.
Oh, that's awesome, yeah.
You know, and half of them, like, I would say half of them probably been worn maybe two times. So, like, and the thing with me, like, I don't beat my shoes. So, like, anytime that you see a pair of my shoes, they look like they just came out of the box for the first time. So, like, people get them, they're like, oh, these are brand new. I'm like, no, they've been worn. Like, when did you wear these, or where did you wear them? Because they look brand new.
Like, I just take care of them, man.
Exactly. But, like, I'll do that occasionally, like, twice a year or so, like, purge, and then kind of restock, purge, restock. I'll have a yard sale and put them out there. And people are like, why do you have so many shoes? I'm like, don't worry about it. Like, just, they're going.
Don't ask questions.
Don't ask questions. You can get a nice pair of shoes for $20. Take it. You know what I mean? So.
And people are like, when they see that too, they're like, oh, they're real? Because most time people are trying to flip these for a crazy profit. I'm like, no. I was like, things that are that close to me, either I'll keep it or give it to someone who I know will appreciate it. I'm not looking to flip my collection for a profit. That's not why I got the sneakers. It's like, if I can give them to somebody who can appreciate it and wear them and have a use out of it, who needs them, I'm all for it, because I bought them already. Like, it's not like I'm not a retail store trying to make a profit of it. I enjoy them. Let the next person enjoy them.
Right, right. Now, let me ask you a question. What's the oldest shoe that you have? If you got to think about it, that's
no. Problem. It's right next to me.
Oh, damn.
It's right next to me. I always keep it because I can still wear them, which is crazy. so I got these junior, senior in high school. I think it was a senior. Pharrell's ice cream.
Oh, the ice creams. Yeah.
Yeah. They don't have the date. I think these are 2006.
I was going to say, like, mid 2000s, right? Early to mids.
Yeah. So I grew up in a small town, and I always tell this story, and people are like, what? Our Champs had closed down. Oh, no. Our Foot Action had closed down for a while for some reason. Don't know why, but for about a year or so, it closed down, and they were dumping inventory. And I walked in, you know, 16-year-old, 17-year-old. I had my job, but, you know, it's like, you know, you weren't going to spend all your money on one pair of shoes. And these were expensive at the time, I remember, at least for a kid. And they walked in, they have a pile of them, like $19.99.
Oh, wow.
I remember I just stopped. Because with my parents and my brothers at the time, I'm like, hold on, we got to stop here for a second. And had my size, and I hadn't looked back since. And they still wearable. They're a little bit of fading on them, but
yep.
Dude, these are – I have this pair. I feel like I have another really old pair floating around here somewhere. I don't know. They're just too much stuff in here to even, like, keep track of. I mean, I have 2011 Black Cement 3s that finally fell apart on me.
Oh.
Warm to death. I mean, I got, 12 years out of them before they started falling apart, so.
Can't complain. You got your money's worth.
Yeah. And I got them on discount because I worked at Champs. I think I got them for $111 with my employee discount.
Even better.
I was like, man, I need to go work in a shoe store again part-time or something.
just get that discount. That's funny.
What about you, man? What's the oldest thing you got floating around out there?
I think as I was asking that, I'm like, wait, if I'm asking him, he's going to ask me. I think the oldest one I have is the Air Max 2003. So the silver one that had the full length
air.
That was, like, super, almost looked like the Mayfly upper. Like, it's really, like, slim. That one I have. And the bubble has yellowed pretty much through. But, like, I've tried to, like, restore it, heat set it so it kind of takes out the fogging and everything like that. But I think like almost every year I'll take them out for like Air Max Day and just like walk around and be like, all right, they're still good. They're still good. They haven't fallen apart yet.
Just get squeezed a little bit. Are we good? Ooh, that would scare me. He's like walking and go,
like I mean, a flat tire. I guess quality then was a lot better than it is now because they're lasting. I mean, what, 2003? So we're talking about going to be 22 years now.
22 years, yeah.
So she was old enough to drink.
That's great. You know that Air Max series is like when I used to do the numbered or year Air Max up to about, I think, 2011.
Yeah, that's when they went the Roy. Yeah.
Yeah, I love the 11s, though. It was like the all fuse upper. I had like 3-4 pairs of those. They were just super, super comfortable, really futuristic looking. I wish they would go back to some of those, like bring someone back out.
Yeah. I tried like the new ones that they have, the DNs and stuff like that. And I'm like, I think I got the size one that they did, like the collab that they did with size. That was like a muted color, and then they painted like the air bubbles and everything, so it was like all painted as opposed to transparent. And I got them, and I think I ordered them in two different sizes. I'm like, I don't know how the shoe runs. The 11 was too snug. The 11 and a half, I was swimming, so I'm like, this thing is not comfortable. It's just kind of sent them both back. I'm like, all right, I'm done with this model.
We got 11 and a quarter.
Right. So.
You know, I didn't, at first I'll say I did not like the DN. I finally broke down and got a pair because I think I got them on sale or something, but I got the Olympic pair. I like them. Now, do I wear them a lot? No, but they're actually decently comfortable. But things like the 720, I had to bring that shoe back. I feel like I was unbalanced the entire time I was wearing that. It was like that weird like bubble with the hollowed out in the middle.
Yep.
The shoe made no sense. I feel like I couldn't drive in them. I feel like my gas pedal was going to get stuck in the shoe some kind of way.
Right.
But I think a lot of things where people are hungry, at least from Nike, for more innovation because everybody else is doing it. I mean, from you guys at Puma to other brands, you know, Saucony, Reebok just dropping their first basketball shoe in over a decade. People are out here. Like, these brands are really going out of their way to try new things, innovate. Right. Like you said, you guys have things coming up in the future we're going to be looking out for that are from the ground up.
Yeah.
So, it is, I think, as you know, sneakerheads, sneaker collectors, we look to Nike. It's like, hey, you guys are the biggest ones in the room. Like, we love our retros, but there's still, like, some creativity, I think. I mean, it's one of the big things that we're looking for, but I feel like it's kind of a double-edged sword because once they give you something creative, sometimes people will bring me a Jordan 1 back. Like, okay, well, you can't you know, have your cake and eat it too at this point.
Well, they tried. I mean, when they went like when they pushed the Vapor Maxes too. Remember the Vapor Max, and they were like kind of pushing that as like the new Air Max, and you couldn't even walk in those things without sounding like you were wearing track spikes.
It was a cleat.
Yeah,
it was a cleat. It was like snapping around.
Right. And the rubber that they used on the outsole was hard. It didn't grip. It just slipped. The airbags didn't collapse. It just stayed solid. I'm like, is there air in there? Or is it just solid, like nothing? You know, like,
it's like shocks. It's like, what's going on here? There's no springs in this shoe, which as a kid, that was heartbreaking to figure out. There's no springs. Vince Carter lied to me.
Exactly. The Boing commercials. Yeah, I remember that.
But, so do you guys... I'm trying to like phrase this in a way that you can answer. Like technology-wise, is the Nitro Foam going to be something you guys stick with for a while? I know innovation is always something you're trying to find the next better thing. I know there's Nitro, and there's Nitro SQD.
I believe so, yes. And then there's the Nitro Elite.
Elite,
and then
there
is also for like the lower lines, there's like Pro Foam. There's I forget the other foam that we have, but there's Foam Light, I think. So, like, there's all different technologies, but I think they're always looking for new innovations because obviously, like, the Nitro, they want to start kind of bringing it to the lifestyle side and not just the performance side, but they were trying to keep it. So, when we first started using it, they just wanted it to be like associated with the higher end kind of performance because, like, a lot of these brands, when they start using like the technology in the lifestyle stuff, it kind of like dumbs it down or it kind of like cheapens it a little. So they just try to avoid that. But I think they're going to be incorporating it just to kind of like get the hype. When they do that, they'll probably be doing another innovation of, you know, Nitro in some way, a shape. And then it's all, I mean, it's all stuff that they do in the labs. There's engineers that are sitting there constantly doing like formulas and stuff, trying to come up with new technologies. And so it's kind of crazy.
Look, this is what I need you to do. Give me a, I need a made in Japan suede.
Those are like, if you can get them, I mean, they're expensive. We just,
so expensive.
So expensive. And they do small batches. And then we just did the GV special, which was a, in the made in Italy. So I've copped two pairs of those. Because, like, one I saw, like, the first one came out, I got them on foot, and it's, like, it molds to your foot. It's, like, a nice, soft leather. Like, it just tumbled perfectly. And then I was talking to one of the PLMs, like, yeah, they're going to be, they're going to do away with that shoe altogether because they kind of, like, lost their shirt on it. Like, the profit side of it wasn't worth it because the cost of the shoe is so high because of the materials that they used. So if you want, like, a good premium leather shoe that fits good, feels good. That's one that you should, if it's still available, I'm not even sure, but like that's one that's good to go.
I think I saw that in passing too, and I didn't even think about it. I would say, get me that shoe and just make me in your lab at home. I need a nitro strobel put in there. Now, look, I'm giving you ideas now. Go ahead and take this, and like we're going to revamp these old shoes.
I have stuff like downstairs that have been like desold and decoupled, and I'm like, I have a whole lab set up that I have like my next thing that I'm working on. So like I'm trying to like, I'm working on SpeedCap prototypes. I'm working on some inhale prototypes, like a combination of stuff. Like I'm always kind of like, what would work with what? What would kind of like fit with whatever? So it's like a Frankenstein hybrid type thing.
So you said the SpeedCat. I am not going to lie to you. I never saw that shoe coming back. That was such a moment in the early 2000s.
It was.
I remember having a pair. It seemed very like a niche moment. Like you look back like, oh yeah, I remember SpeedCats and just what? I mean, they got super popular now, and I feel like you guys don't have to come out with a lot of colors. I think, what is it, red, black, and is there yellow maybe? And
There's two forms of yellow. There's yellow on yellow, and then there's yellow with a black form strip.
Okay.
That one just dropped. They did a green as well, which is like kind of like a tealish green.
Okay.
They just dropped a royal with like a, it's almost like a grayish white form strip. I just picked a pair of those up.
Interesting.
There's a bunch of colors, and there's more coming, but like that was, they started going with, like, the low-profile look. So the H Street is coming back. That was, like, a shoe. These are all shoes from, like, the archives of, like, early 2000s.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, that's the wave right now, man. Right, Y2K, and, like you said.
Exactly. And I lived in New York when those were out. So, like, I remember, like, I wasn't into buying as – that's when I started buying more, but I wasn't into buying as much.
Yeah.
And I would see, like, everybody downtown in Manhattan walking around in, like, Mostros, Speedcats. Mostro's coming back big too. And every time I saw him, like, oh, that person is a, you know, a tourist. It's usually like European tourist people that
you
wear
can
them.
Tell.
Because I mean, like, it's just the fits that people were wearing with those shoes. It kind of went with like where the, you know, it was more European.
Sure.
It was European influence, right? So I didn't think that it would make a comeback either. And then like we had a meeting about 8 months ago or a year ago when they were like, so this is where we're going to be focusing our attention. This is what's coming into market. And I'm like, what does it? Like, and they just gave us a list, and I'm looking at the list, and I'm like,
you thought it said SpeedCat, right?
I'm like, are we doing racing shoes again? Okay, here we go, SpeedCat, sure. And it's like, it's Formula One inspired, right? So it's kind of low profile, has the heel tab that kind of protects the suede from, you know, when you're driving. So all these things. But like, yeah, there's collabs coming out with a lot of those models and stuff of that. So keep an eye out for that. I mean, they're striking while the iron's hot. SpeedCat is big right now. Like for a while, the first two drops that they did sold out like instantly.
Yeah, that's what blew my mind. I'm like, what do you mean you can't get them? Like, I used to be able to walk in any store to grab a SpeedCat. Like, you know, that's cool. I mean,
they did.
I
was gonna say they did a powder blue that was kind of like Carolina blue with like a darker blue form strip. That one sold out like within seconds of being online.
Seen that one? That sounds pretty cool. If it's the, it was a suede.
It was a.
Or Nubuck?
Nubuck or suede? I can't remember. It wasn't leather. It was either Nubuck or suede. I never got to see it because it sold out before.
I didn't even know that one existed. I got to find that one because that would be a pretty cool color.
And then there's a cream and tan one. So it's like, a brown and cream.
Yeah.
That one dropped the same day that the baby blue ones did. And they was sold out quick too. So like now the black and red are like the, I guess you could say like the central colors that they kind of like restocking the most in because it's kind of like the go-tos of the classic colorways. So yeah, they're dropping more and more colors here and there. So
that's crazy how the tides have turned. Because when I was in like grade school, like middle and high school, when the SpeedCats were out, it was like oh, what are those? Everybody's like, you know, Air Force Ones and Jordans. And now, oh, now we all want to speak out like, oh, no, I was right all along. So,
I mean, it's a hard shoe. Like, I bought a pair because I wanted to, like, we had an in-house customizing little thing. Like, they'll do, like, little workshops and stuff.
Oh, that's dope.
So, like, oh, bring a speed cast and customize. So I went down there. I'm like, all right, I can probably do more in my house in half an hour than I did. Like, I'll just do my own and bring it in. But, like, I got a pair for that reason, just to kind of, like, make it my own, customize and stuff. But, like, I put it on foot, and it feels like a house slipper.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like a moccasin with a rubber sole, right? So I put it on. I'm like, all right, I can't really wear this, though, because, like, my fits just don't work with that shoe. Like, it's kind of, like... But then I see other people rocking them, and they look good. And I'm like, yeah, I can't pull that off. So it's a hard shoe to wear, you know?
I'm not a fashion guy, Rick. Look, my clothes come from Target. So I see these people, like, putting these fits together with these speed caps. I'm like, that is amazing for you.
Yeah.
I'm going to look like a goober if I go out there trying to do this.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I'm getting up there in age, too. I'm older. So I'm like, I don't want to be, like, the guy that people, like, see me walking through. Like, all right, he's trying just a little too hard. I mean, like, tone it down. Yeah. Like, I don't want to be... I don't want to be doing the dad fit yet, but, like, I want to be kind of, like, still coolish, I guess, but, yeah.
It sounds like I'm trying to be cool, but I'm like, I don't want to look like I'm trying that hard. Like you say, right. I can't go out there looking like, hey, sir, we know you have 4 kids. Calm down. Like, right.
Relax. Exactly.
So, as we talk about, you know, something that's very hot, I got to ask you about something that I feel like it was just kind of a moment that just didn't last. The beaded cushion. Remember, I don't know what it was called. It was like they filled the bubble up with the little, like, micro, like, beads. Yes.
Yep.
What was the name of that? Because I don't want to know.
Damn, now you're killing me. That was before my time with Puma. I know exactly it's true. Because my direct manager, he actually developed that. And there was, like, a little injection port in the bottom that you basically, like, they would build the mold. And then they would fill that injection port, fill it with the bubbles. And then they would seal that port so it wouldn't escape. So it's more like we have a lot of shoes like the Excellion and other styles that are basically like, they call them VizTech, right? So like visual technology.
Yeah.
Right? Some of them, there's actual tech. Other ones, it's just windows to see the technology that's there of foam working. Okay. That was one of those things where it was like bubbles were there, but I don't think they actually served a purpose. Hope I don't get in trouble for saying that.
Okay, I asked you, I was like, so what it actually, Kusha was looking like, does that work?
It's the technology now. I mean, Nike had it too, remember? Nike
they did, and that did not last at all. Like, you guys at least had a couple models. They had one, and it was abysmal.
Right. I mean, like, it's just moving beads. I don't think it actually did anything. And, like, the whole whole theory behind it is as it compresses, those beads would absorb the impact.
Yeah.
They would, you know, they would allow you to kind of, like, land softer and then kind of, like, rebound.
Yeah.
I don't think they actually worked. I mean, I don't know. I wasn't there. So.
It's a mystery for all of us.
It was before my time, yeah.
That's awesome, man. Well, shoot. I mean, I really appreciate the time today, Rick. It was, Puma's one of the brands. Like, I mean, you see there's a nice stack over here. One of the brands, like a legacy brand for me. Since I was a kid, I mean, from Suede's, Clyde's, middle school had a lot of the GV specials. Yep. And, of course, the stuff you guys are doing now is awesome. And, of course, I just love keeping up with you on Instagram and stuff, too. Yeah. And I love what you're doing out there with your customs. And just being a fellow sneaker collector is always nice to be able to talk to someone who's not just stuck in the same, I got to just get this one Jordan, and that's all we're going to talk about. Right. So,
I mean, I try to have variation in my rotation here. I mean, I do the best I can. But, yeah, definitely keep an eye out. Like I said, there's models coming out. There'll be more Suedes, there'll be more Clydes, GVs. If you wore them before, it's a completely different fit because I worked with a team developing a new last and stuff like that. So we basically changed the last on that and also the fit of the shoe. So like the tooling's changed and the last has changed. So the shoe actually is a little bit wider and it sits a little lower on the midsole. So like the old GV, when you looked at it, it had like a really round toe. This one sits a little flatter. So like it still has the same fit. It's more comfortable. We changed the compound in the midsole too. So it's more cushiony and it more just kind of overall better fit. So yeah, if you like the GV, that's one to keep an eye on.
Hey, add it to my list, man. I was like, I got to make sure I got to hide my list. Make sure no one, don't worry about these shoes coming in the house. Don't bother. But no, man, I appreciate it. And guys, make sure you do follow Rick. Rick, let them know where to follow you, man.
Just at Soul Specific. Right now, it's just Instagram. I did away with TikTok, and I on Twitter/X. I had deactivated my account for 30 days. I went back and I was like, oh, it's past 30 days. So they just closed my account. I'm like, all right, we'll forget about it.
Same here, man. I was like, you know what? Let me leave this place. I never looked back and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I was like, every time I was on there, all I did was just argue with people back and forth. My wife's like, are you getting a kick out of that? Like, it's where I go to like just get my sports aggression out of it. So yeah, it was probably better for everybody.
Oh, shoot, man. Rick, I appreciate you, buddy. And guys, really go follow Rick, Soul Specific. He has some really, if you like customs, he has some very, like, when I say well-done customs, he does a heck of a job. It's not just stuff just like Frankenstein together. He really has some thoughtful things he puts there. And you know, we really appreciate him for showing up today, hanging out with us. And you guys know, of course, follow Sneaker History. Hit the subscribe, like, all that stuff. You know how it goes. And leave comments, guys. We love comments to know how we're doing. And till next time, guys. See ya.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man.
Hey, y'all. Nick here. One more thing before you take off. Do us a solid and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Check the links in the description to help us keep the show going. And as always, we appreciate you listening. And don't forget to tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a compliment will take you. And we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Peace.